Agriculture is a major part of Wisconsin's history. It's also one of the biggest economic drivers in the state, contributing more than $88 billion annually to the state's economy. But this tradition could be in jeopardy. Wisconsin's current farmers are aging out of the profession. But for young people who want to become farmers, there are a number of hurdles they need to clear, like accessing capital, learning how to care for crops, animals, and land. Dori Eder joins us now to talk about the challenges facing farmers when they're just starting out. She's the Farm Beginnings Organizer for the Land Stewardship Project, which is a nonprofit group which advocates for farmers and provides educational opportunities for early career farmers in western Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota. Dori, also a farmer herself. Dori, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, so first, you farm in addition to all this other work that you do. Why did you want to pursue farming?
Well, I didn't grow up with any background in farming, and that makes me kind of typical of the beginning farmers that we serve. But I was a mid-career transition to farming, and I spent 20 years in a career in public service, and then what I really wanted was a career that had a direct relationship to the land and was more integrated with my family. And those are the reasons that a lot of beginning farmers are interested in careers in farming.
And was it easy for you to make that transition? What was it like during the early years farming?
Well, it certainly wasn't. So,
you're laughing so much now.
We were able to, my husband and I both continue to work full-time off of the farm, and that's how we were able to afford a second mortgage to purchase our small acreage where we farm now while we kept working. And so we tried to get our farm up and running kind of part-time and on the weekends, and I was eventually able, the reason I'm able to farm is because my husband still works off-farm, and that provides a stable source of income for our family. And then I transitioned my work to working with beginning farmers at Land Stewardship Project, which gave me more time to focus on building our farm enterprise. But because I work full-time, I also don't have a lot of extra time to grow the farm. So it's profitable, but it certainly doesn't meet all of our income needs.
And so you've had this experience yourself going through it and working with the farm and trying to grow those challenges. What are some of the challenges you hear from the farmers you worked with that they encounter when they first start off like you did?
Oh, sure. Well, the number one barrier that beginning farmers identify is access to land. And some of that is obviously related to access to mortgage and financing to purchase land. Farming is considered fairly high risk. There are programs through the USDA to help finance purchases of farmland, but only for people who have a certain amount of experience. So very beginning farmers often find themselves trying to get huge mortgages without having the income or the credit to qualify for what they need, or they end up purchasing smaller acreage than they need to sustain a farm business, or sometimes marginal land or farmsteads that are need a lot of work, right? So they have to make big investments of time and money to get the farm into a condition to be able to be profitable.
And in your experience, are banks wary about lending to farmers?
For beginning farmers, I think that is an issue. I know for a lot of young people interested in farming, they have a high amount of debt, like college-related debt. So that always, for any mortgage, is going to be a red flag for lenders. I think being able to demonstrate to a banker that your small farm plans are profitable and that you're going to be able to pay back that loan out of your farm profits is also a challenge, because there's so much capitalization that needs to happen to get up and running that often farms don't turn a profit for several years.
And in terms of startup costs, what you need besides the land, I imagine there's a lot of other resources you're going to need to stock and get ready to farm the land. What kinds of costs are involved there? What kind of equipment and that sort of thing will people need?
Sure. Well, it depends. It depends on what people are growing. You know, some of the like a vegetable farm on a few rented acres could be very low input and affordable if people are able to do a lot of work by hand and not rely on machinery. So some of those costs could be really low, a low entry. If you're doing, you know, hundreds of acres of crop farming or something like dairy that requires $1 million worth of infrastructure, that's really a different ball game. So, I mean, it can really vary. There's so many kinds of farming and at such different scales and kind of types. Many beginning farmers who are not inheriting farms or have access to farm land started a small scale and worked their way up.
We're talking with Dori Eder right now. She's the Farm Beginnings Organizer for the Land Stewardship Project, and she's also a farmer herself. And she's with us to talk about the challenges that can face new farmers. And what about that, the knowledge of working the land itself, how to get the best yield, what practices work best for planting? How do new farmers pick up stuff like that?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we run a farmer training program that is mostly focused on the business of running a farm business. But the origin of that program is that we had farmers involved with Land Stewardship Project who, after the farm crisis of the 80s, were really concerned that there would be nowhere for new farmers to learn what had been lost by the generational loss of farms. And so that's why we started the program. Most of what people need to learn in terms of production is best learned through a mentor farmer, working with an experienced farmer. And we help connect people to those kind of mentors. There are other organizations that do that too. But for most people, working on a farm and having a farm mentor are the best education they could get in terms of production.
I think of farming in a way, and this could be completely wrong, but as a solitary endeavor sort of within the family where it gets passed down that way, but that there may not be big groups of farmers that get together to share knowledge. Is there that kind of way to exchange knowledge for farmers?
Mm-hmm. It's especially important for people who don't have that family history of farming or don't have a multi-generational farmers to rely on. So, you know, we view part of our role as we train farmers is to connect them with each other as a network of support. And it's hugely important. You know, farming is can be isolating. It can be frustrating. You're also at the mercy of the weather and global markets and things that you can't control. So having a solid support system of other farmers is crucial to getting people through the rough patches in their farming career.
Now, you mentioned you yourself you worked your way up. You have another job alongside farming, as does your husband. Is that common for new farmers that they don't just take the plunge and they're a full-time farmer, but they have to sort of ramp up?
Yeah, that's generally, I mean, it's generally wise, and it's what we generally advise people to do, is to start off slowly, mitigate their risks. You know, if you're going to do a big capital investment, you don't want to run the risk of ruining your finances or your credit. So start off slow, scale up slowly over time, have a farm income to rely on. The USDA had a statistic from the last farm census that 85% of farms have off-farm income. And that's not just beginners, that's everybody. So it is very common for people to do other work in addition to farming. Some of that's seasonal and some of it's full-time where one, you know, partner has an off-farm job that also comes with health insurance and other benefits while the other partner farms full-time.
It seems like I've also been seeing more farms who are using the farm as a tourist destination, too. Maybe in the spring they do sort of lambing activities, or there's a pumpkin patch in the fall. Are there starting to be new ways to bring more income in, thinking of the farm more as a destination?
Yes, and farms, you know, need to be thinking about diverse streams of income in order to protect themselves from crop failures and other kinds of risks. So agritourism is one income stream that people are really interested in. I know a lot of people who start farming too do it because they want to share the kind of education about food production with the broader community. So I see a lot of people want to build that into their farm planning to get people onto their farms. And then we also have things like taco nights and pizza farms and ways to get people onto farm experiencing the activities of the farm and also generating some revenue for the farmer.
We're talking with Dori Eder right now. She's the Farm Beginnings Organizer for the Land Stewardship Project, and she's a farmer herself, joining us now to talk about the challenges facing new farmers. And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about how to start a farm? Or if you're a farmer, what advice would you give to someone who is just beginning? If you've made it through those first 5 years, what was most crucial to know? Call us at 800-642-1234, or you can leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We're continuing our conversation about the challenges facing novice farmers with Dori Eder. She's the Farm Beginnings Organizer for the Land Stewardship Project. And we'd like to hear from you. What questions do you have about the first steps to become a farmer? If you're a farmer now, what challenges did you face along the way, and what advice do you have? And what do you think would have helped you the most as you went through that journey? Call us at 800-642-1234 or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. And we go to our callers now. We have Larry joining us first in Kenosha. Larry, hi.
Hi there. I admire people that do farming today. I am surprised that they can make a living at it. I'm in almost in my 70s. I was raised on a farm. I would never go back to farming. You couldn't do it today with the BNR regulations. What we had back then would not fly today. We had grade B milk. I don't even think anybody's got grade B milk anymore. Everybody's got to be grade A, which is very, very costly. And I would just be surprised how anybody makes it today with the DNR regulations on farming.
All right, Larry, thank you for that. Larry, say you never go back to farming, Dori, and he sees too many regulations. Is that something you hear from young farmers, that there are hindrances, maybe like regulations, that make it too hard to make a go of it?
There are. I mean, there are some barriers to farming, especially for small-scale farmers who don't really get to take advantage of the economies of scale in a commodity marketplace. So it does require a lot of creativity, creating new markets. You know, the CSA movement was started by farmers who were trying to find a new way to become profitable. So it does require this kind of creative thinking about diversification and where you enter the markets, and a lot more direct sales so that farmers are capturing more of the retail dollar for their products. And I know a lot of young farmers, too, who grew up on farms and whose folks, you know, didn't want them to go into farming because it was a really hard life and it was a struggle. But they hope to be able to do it differently and maybe on a different scale. But it's not stopping people from still wanting to farm. It's a pretty deeply felt calling for the folks who want to do it.
Well, thank you for that call. And we're going to move next to Owen in Wyawega. Owen, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, this is a subject that we definitely need to do more research on. And I appreciate you guys bringing this up today. My question is, well, my first question, I don't have the internet, but I'm on a farm. I work as an employee, and my typical day starts at 3:30 and ends anywhere between 5 and 8 o'clock at night.
Wow.
That's how much energy I put into farming for somebody else. I collect a salary, and what I'm trying to do is find a way to buy my own farm, but I talked to the FSA a few years ago. My credit score is 680, but they're not interested in lending somebody like me money that doesn't have a lot of other type of assets that can be used as collateral.
Mm.
And I was wondering how to get in touch with you folks, and maybe you folks could help me and my partner try to get some help learning about how we can get creative with financing or potentially some sort of program that wants to continue to work a smaller parcel of land instead of a larger corporate type of farm buying that land, because that's what's happening all around here.
Owen, thank you so much. And getting at some of those barriers to capital in the beginning, those startup to buy land, that kind of money. And what advice do you have for him, Dory?
This is a kind of a consistent or persistent problem across the board. Though I can tell you that there have been inroads made in the farm financing arena, especially where it concerns small farms and specialty crop farmers. So, you know, what we hear a lot from FSA is they want to make sure that the folks approaching them for loans have some kind of education in the business aspects of running a farm. Sometimes all it takes is a community college course. Our course, the Farm Beginnings class, satisfies those requirements. And then we're kind of there to be advocates, too, and kind of help people through the process of working with FSA and getting clear about what their requirements are, and not just kind of their, if they're having a kind of a knee-jerk reaction to the scale or the size of someone's prospective operation. We want to make sure that the farmer has all the details and information they need to make a case to FSA that their farm plan is profitable.
And Dory, do you want to give some contact information for Owen and for anybody else who's listening who wants to get a hold of you?
Sure. You can visit our website at landstewardshipproject.org. There is a tab there called More Farmers on the Land, and that's where you can find all the Farm Beginnings information. If you also go to beginningfarmers.org, you'll see all of our sister programs around the country, including other programs in Wisconsin and the Upper Midwest.
Terrific. Thank you for that, Dory. And Owen, good luck to you. And I'm glad you're listening today. Let's go next to Aaron joining us in Peshtigo. Aaron, hi.
Yeah, good afternoon. I just, I'm a beginning farmer, new farmer, and I wanted to share kind of my experience in breaking into the field. I had an old family friend who had owned some farmland but didn't farm anymore, but I told them I had an interest in farming, and so we were able to work out a land contract where I didn't have to go through a bank to get a mortgage for financing. And so that's how I was able to purchase my farm at a reasonable rate. I didn't invest all my capital into land, and that enabled me to utilize my savings to purchase things that actually make money, being cattle and pigs. And instead of investing in huge equipment that costs a lot of money and depreciates, I decided to go with a pasture-based farming system, grass-fed beef, pastured pork. They require very little investment, just fencing and water systems. And so I don't have a lot of skin in the game, but I get a premium for my product.
Aaron, thank you for sharing that. Interesting. So he had a relationship with a retiring farmer and didn't have to buy the land outright, but had a deal with the farmer to, I guess, sort of leasing the land. What about a solution like that? Is there a model for that, Dory?
Yep, there sure is. And there are lots of people who own farmland that's not in production or is being rented out to neighbors, or retiring farmers who are really invested in seeing a beginning farmer get started on the land. At our website, landstewardshipproject.org, we also host a clearinghouse for people who have land available for rent or sale in the region and people who are looking. So while we can't kind of do individual matchmaking, we do provide that forum for folks who are looking. And then we also work with retiring farmers who want to transition to the next generation of farmers to find ways to do that meet everyone's needs, right? So most farm families feel like they have to sell their farm at top dollar because that's their whole retirement, right? They weren't able to necessarily save in an IRA or a, employer-sponsored retirement account. But they also have a really vested interest in seeing someone continue to farm that land. And so we try to help people figure out how to do that and still retire comfortably.
We're talking with Dory Eater right now from the Farm Beginnings she's the Farm Beginnings organizer, I should say, for the Land Stewardship Project. It's an advocacy and educational organization. We're talking about challenges facing new farmers. And Dory, are there policies that you think, maybe Wisconsin should be looking at to boost new farmer success rate?
I think there are a lot of great ideas. I know something that has come up in Wisconsin and that the National Young Farmers Coalition is promoting is the St- student loan debt forgiveness for folks who go into farming. In Minnesota right now, we're trying to come up with a tax credit system for retiring farmers who want to sell or rent to beginning farmers. So there are things that can happen on the local level. And then, you know, every 10 years we renegotiate a farm bill where we advocate for to beef up the programming for beginning farmers and their access to capital and some other kinds of reforms, as in like crop insurance and direct payment reforms that in some cases inflate the price of land and make it more difficult for people to access it.
And Dori, just a couple seconds left, but as we wrap up here, are we seeing signs that it's working, that there are young people starting to move into the field of farming?
We think so. So we've been running our Farm Beginnings program for 20 years, and we've graduated more than 800 people, 70% of whom are still involved in farming. So we don't necessarily see any enthusiasm for wanting to farm dropping off or waning anytime soon. But the barriers are significant, and it's going to take creative thinking both from the farmers and on the policy level and from the community of people who care about rural economies.
And we leave it there. Dori, thank you for joining us.
All right. Thank you so much.
That was Dori Eder, the Farm Beginnings organizer for the Land Stewardship Project, talking about the challenges facing new farmers.